Welcome back to the Moms Get It Done podcast. I'm Leslie Osborne. If you're new to the show, I'm a mom of two. Olive is 7 and Logan just turned 5. I live in Michigan with my husband, I'm a fitness instructor, and I run a local nonprofit moms club. I love my crazy busy life and I wouldn't have it any other way. I've talked so much on this show about so many different parenting topics, and there's something that I work at every single day that I don't mention as much. My daughter, Olive, has ADHD. Dealing with this when I don't have it myself is very hard, and our journey has been tough. In the beginning, I was really frustrated. I couldn't understand why she wouldn't listen, and dealing with it caused tension in my marriage. I think this is so true for so many parents with kids with ADHD, so I want to share my story, what we've tried, what's worked, what hasn't, and everything in between. So here we go. When Olive was 4, we started to notice that she wasn't listening to us. I know kids don't listen, but this was like a whole different level. I would be speaking to her 3 feet away, asking her to do something, and it was like I wasn't even there. I thought for sure she was being defiant, and I'd get really mad. It usually ended up with me yelling at her, and she would say she didn't hear me. How could she not hear me? I said the same thing 5 times, and I was right next to her. I would yell, she would cry, and it would become about me yelling and not about her actual behavior. This happened quite a bit, and it was really frustrating. Another thing she would do is she would get up from the table multiple times during a meal. I couldn't get her to sit down for an entire dinner to save my life. She'd literally get up like 10 to 15 times and just walk around or go get something, or who even knows what she was doing. It was a constant battle, and we were definitely losing it. At this point, she was really only doing this to my husband and I. Her teachers and her friends' parents said that she was a great listener. I was happy about that because at least she wasn't misbehaving for anyone else. I think that's what we all hope to do. I should mention that my husband has ADD, without the H, which means he has attention issues and not necessarily the hyperactivity. He wasn't diagnosed until his late 20s and was relieved to finally understand that there was an explanation for the way he felt and the things that were getting in his way. I felt like we had an advantage with Olive because we knew what it was and could think of it as a possibility from the beginning. Although ADD was considered a disorder in the 1970s and 80s, in the mid-90s, not that many people had heard of it. In the book, Driven to Distraction, the author explains that the 90s were a decade of the brain. Science uncovered more and more evidence proving that ADD was a true biological entity. Before that, there were so many people that thought ADD was simply bad parenting causing bad behavior. Dr. Russell Barkley commented that ADD is more impairing than any syndrome in all mental health that is treated on an outpatient basis. More than anxiety, more impairing than depression, and more than substance abuse. If you have ADD, you're 40% more likely to get divorced and 30% more likely to be unemployed. I'm so glad to be in a time where we know so much about it and have treatments that help kids so much. The book this came from, I will talk about later on, and I'll include the link to it in the show notes. So let's get back to Olive. Olive interrupted pretty much everyone when they were talking, and she was very impulsive. She would think of doing something and then immediately do it. This caused a lot of tension because we really just wanted to get through an activity or a conversation without changing directions a bunch of times. We took her to the doctor and also a psychologist, and both of them said that she was too young for a diagnosis. Apparently, some of the tendencies that of kids with ADD are also just normal behavior for 4-year-olds, which we totally understood. Impulsive behavior and hyperactivity specifically. The next year, she started kindergarten. Her teacher said she was very bright academically and super creative. She also said that Olive had a hard time staying in her seat for any length of time, and she would be doing her work, then just stop and start drawing a picture. She also said that Olive was interrupting. Not only her, but the other students as well, and it was disrupting the class. At this point, we were worried. Was our kid a bad kid? She was so sweet and she loved school, and she didn't realize her behavior was disruptive. We talked to her about it many times, and it did get better, but not by much. She also started to worry about things that weren't necessarily real. She was obsessed with washing her hands and thought that her hands were dirty all the time. She had also just started to wipe by herself on the toilet and was convinced that she had poop on her hands and then in her mouth. She would constantly ask me to smell her hands and ask if she had poop in her mouth. This was distressing to all of us. Her anxiety was through the roof, and I hated seeing her that way. If you've listened to my podcast in the past, you know that I have a rather serious anxiety disorder, so of course I started to blame myself, like most parents do. So back to the doctor we went, and she said that she thought Olive was having anxiety and some sensory issues. We started to take her to a psychologist and also took her to occupational therapy to work out the sensory issues. We drove an hour for one appointment and another hour to OT every week, and we're spending a ton on trying to help her. Don't get me wrong, like, I would spend everything I have to help her, but it was getting to be a lot for all of us, especially with a baby. Logan was only a couple years old at the time, and it was hard to keep him busy through those appointments. Through the OT and the therapy, we did learn a lot about what Olive needs. Olive needs heavy work exercise to stabilize her body. This involves lots of pushing and pulling heavy items or serious wrestling with daddy. We learned how to speak to her when she thought she had poop in her mouth so she would laugh and not be anxious, and we were all generally a bit more at ease with what was happening. What wasn't changing and might have been getting worse was the constant movement, ignoring us and her teachers, and interrupting everyone. This part was the most frustrating for me. When we would explain to her how that type of thing made others feel sad, she totally understood and she felt bad. She learned about dipping in other people's buckets, and it was a great term to use with her because she understood immediately. So every time something would happen, we would say, "Olive, you're dipping in someone's bucket," and she would immediately correct it and feel bad about her behavior. And then she would change it, which was nice. So we started to do that. We continued OT and therapy until we thought we got as much out of it as we could. In the fall of first grade, Olive started to get headaches. At this point, she was six, and I took her to the doctor. The doctor listened to everything I just told you and sent home tests for ADD. The doctor suspected that the headaches were tension headaches and might be caused by the stress of Olive trying to behave and concentrate. One day, Olive came home in tears. When I asked her what was wrong, she said that she just wanted to be able to finish her work and not get in trouble like everyone else. My heart was broken watching her in such pain. My husband and I sat down and had a really long discussion. I didn't want to put my six-year-old on medication. I was so scared of everything I've heard about kids being over-medicated. I watched documentaries about Adderall and kids getting addicted to it. And quite frankly, I was scared. But I'm going to tell you, when she came home and was that upset, I knew it was time to do something. I took her back to the doctor and she was diagnosed with ADHD. The doctor put her on low doses of non-stimulant ADHD medication. There are two classes of medication for ADHD, stimulant and non-stimulant. Doctors start with a non-stimulant for children in most cases, so we started there. We saw results right away. She was focused, could play on her own for longer periods of time, and her teacher said her schoolwork ethic improved dramatically. I felt better knowing she felt better. And then the side effects started. She said it felt like her heart was racing and she was panicking. I wanted to reach into her little body and pull the medication out. I felt so guilty for putting her through this and pretty much questioned my parenting decisions every single day. I totally get that I was just trying to help her, but I felt horrible. They say it takes several tries of different psychopharmaceutical medications to find the right one, and I should know this. I've had an anxiety disorder and have tried a few. We went through about four of them with varying side effects and even switched over to the stimulant side. Adderall is one of the stimulant medications that most people know. We eventually landed on the same exact medication my husband takes, and it's worked for several months. She takes one in the morning and a half in the afternoon to get her through school. Another thing we looked at was biofeedback. I have a family member that was on 70 milligrams of Adderall a day and had severe ADHD. Then he went through biofeedback and now doesn't have to take any medication at all. Biofeedback, which is also called neurofeedback, is an alternative ADHD treatment that's aimed at training the brain to reduce impulsivity and increase focus. I signed her up for a consult and was so excited, and then COVID hit. As you can imagine, virtual learning was very hard for Olive and for us. To ask any child to sit in front of a computer for 7 hours a day is hard, then add ADHD into it, and it became seriously difficult. I literally had to sit next to her the entire day to make sure she was listening and not drawing or off playing somewhere, and she was bored to death. I really feel for all parties involved with virtual learning. We were all thrown into this within days and had no real plan on how to manage it. Thankfully, we had amazing teachers and educators at our school that worked with us, and we got through first grade. Like I mentioned before, Olive is academically smart, really smart actually, and usually ahead in reading and at all expected levels in math. I know not every parent with a child with ADHD has this advantage and struggles even more than we did, so I count us as lucky in that area. During the summer of COVID, we struggled with Olive listening and impulsive behaviors. Her nervous tics started to show up in different ways, and she was compulsively sniffling every 5 to 10 seconds. She was like this. With COVID being a thing, it was uncomfortable to take her anywhere because people were giving us weird looks since she was sniffling. One day, we were at the dinner table, and we were talking about it, and she asked what a nervous tic was. So we asked Google, and Google said, a tic is an uncontrolled, sudden, repetitive movement or sound that can be difficult to control. Ticks involve movements that are called motor tics. At this, Olive said, oh, that's definitely what I have. We all laughed, and she was closer to understanding exactly what was happening to her. Since we weren't able to get her into biofeedback, we started looking for other ways to help her at home. Of course, after one Google search, we started getting ads for all kinds of things and ended up starting to read about a tablet called Mightier. It's a tablet that comes with a band that goes around her arm to monitor heart rate. As she's playing the game, her heart rate goes up, the games get more challenging, and it prompts her to breathe and relax or calm herself to get to the next level. The more she can get through these challenging games while calm, the higher the level. The point is to help with her compulsive behavior by teaching her to calm down on her own. I have to say, we saw some great results after using it for only a couple weeks. She'd be in the middle of something, not while she was playing the app, stop herself, take a few deep breaths, and then continue. It wasn't the answer to all our problems, but it helped her, and that's what counts. The device comes with a membership, and you can pay as low as $28 per month. It was completely worth it for us. I put the link in the show notes, so make sure to check that out. Another thing that started to happen was that Olive started to get headaches again. She would get them at the strangest times, and they were completely debilitating. She would roll up into a ball and wait for the Tylenol to help her. They would last a couple hours, and then she was okay. We took her to the allergist and optometrist, and she got glasses. The allergist was pretty certain she was getting migraines and said to give her a hefty dose of ibuprofen and even a little Coca-Cola when she felt them coming on to prevent it from being so painful. We did this for a while, but we noticed she was getting headaches every single day, and giving a child that much ibuprofen can't be good for them. So back to the doctor we went, and they put her on a medication at night. It wasn't working at first, but over time it started to help, and she was going a few days at a time without a headache. I hate giving her so much medication. The other day, I was talking with a friend of mine that also has a child with ADHD, and I told her about Olive's headaches and our never-ending search for a solution. She told me about a doctor near us that specialized in binocular vision dysfunction, which is a small amount of vision misalignment that isn't typically found in routine eye exams. The person's body corrects the misalignment by overusing and straining the eye muscles, causing symptoms such as headaches, anxiety, sensitivity to light, unsteadiness, dizziness, and more. Apparently, our friend's child benefited greatly from this, so we're headed over there this week to try to figure out if it could be a solution for us. We'll see, and I will update you guys on that after we go. I'm also putting the link to the office in the show notes just so you can read about it. It's something I never heard of before, and I feel like there's so much of this out there where you haven't heard of it and it could be a solution. So anything that you have, definitely send to me as well. Another thing I did to prepare myself was to do research to understand ADHD and figure out how I could be more supportive and not just reactive to the behaviors that were frustrating me. My husband recommended a book called Driven to Distraction by Edward Howell and John Rady. This book helped me so much because it went through a bunch of different stories of adults and kids with ADHD, what they were experiencing, their frustrations, and what their path looked like. I not only understood Olive better, but my husband as well. The book goes through all the different types of ADHD, how to diagnose it, the biology behind it, and the treatments. I highly recommend it to anybody that has a family member going through this, and I'll put the link in the show notes as well. The one thing that I can say about our journey is that I'm so thankful that we live in a time that these types of issues are not only talked about, but are accepted as a part of life. I can't imagine a kid going through this and the parents being helpless on what to do. To not have a name for what was happening or any resources on how to help them has to be horrible. Also, from the child's point of view, this could be extremely frustrating. Olive herself knew that she wanted to be able to finish her work and had no idea how to get better at concentrating. As parents, my husband and I are committed to helping her in any way we can. If you're listening to this, I'm sure you are too. We're going to keep looking, trying different things, and taking it day by day. Before I continue, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor. A few of the things that I recommend highly for somebody that thinks that their child might have ADHD or just ADD, not all of them have hyperactivity, is to definitely go to your doctor first. They have different tests that they can give you, and they send the test to your teachers that they can answer what's happening in school. I thought this was really beneficial to us. Maybe she didn't have it. Maybe it was something else. But really identifying what's happening is pretty important. The things that I really do recommend that I mentioned in this episode, and there's links in all the show notes, is the book, Driven to Distraction, the Mightier tablet. I really thought that getting allergy and food sensitivity testing is important because there are certain foods that Olive gets, that Olive has, like red dye, that really upset her system. So red 40 for her makes her really hyperactive. We actually only knew that because we had a family member that had the same sensitivity and she found that out. I'm actually still looking into how to test her for other food sensitivities. There's a lot of research that's done on diet and ADHD, and I'm just now getting into that section. So once I do more research and I have more answers, I will come back on and tell you guys what I found. So I really think it's important just to listen to our kids and to listen to what they need. I never thought I would be a parent that would put my kid on medication and be trying all these different things. But if that's what's going to help her, then I think that it's worth it. Thank you so much for listening today. ADHD is something that touches so many of our lives. And if this helped you in any way, I'm so thankful. Be sure to join the Moms Get It Done Facebook group. I know we can do it all together.